I take my message this morning from the last part of verse 19 that we read a moment ago, where Job says, "My record is on high." My record is on high. All of us have a series of records attached to our names. All of us have a birth record. Most of us have a birth certificate. Tell us when we were born, where we were born, who our parents were, who the doctor was there when we were delivered. Most of us have an educational record, where we went to school, what classes we took, what grades that we got, what teachers we had. Most of us have a financial record. We have a Social Security number, and we have income tax forms that we filled out in the past. We have giving records. We have a credit record. Most of us have an employment record, where we worked, what jobs we had, what we were paid. Some of those records include the evaluations we were given when we worked. Many of us have a marriage record, who we married, who the parents of the bride and groom were, where we were married, when we were married, who the preacher was that married us. Most of us have medical records, what our ailments have been, what treatments we have for those ailments, what operations we've had, where we were, when we had it, who the doctor was. Some of us have sports records, achievements we've made in the different sports activities that we've taken part in, the medals or the awards that we've received. And there's probably other records that come to your mind. Police records and prison. Well, never mind. Boy, you're laughing so much, I worry. But you put all those records together, and they paint a picture of our life, a picture that others look at and form some opinion about us, about our character, and about how we've lived our life. That's what was going on in the book of Job. We studied Job a little bit in our Sunday school lesson this morning. I preached from that book this morning as well. But Job had three friends. They looked at his record, and they formed, based on that record, they formed some opinions about Job. Here's the record that they were looking at. 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses that were stolen by the Sabians. 7,000 sheep that were burned up by fire that fell from heaven. 3,000 camels that were stolen by the Chaldeans. All his servants except four that were killed or carried away captive as all his animals were stolen. 7 sons and 3 daughters that were killed by a giant wind. And boils all over his body from the sole of his feet to the top of his head. And they looked at that record, and here's what they said about Job. You must have really ticked God off. You must have done something really bad that God has allowed all this to happen to you. God doesn't let stuff like this happen to good people. He only lets it happen to people who have done bad things. People that do good things don't get this stuff that comes in their life. And so they looked at this record and they made some assumptions about Job's life, and they said, "What evil have you done? What wickedness have you done? If you confess it, maybe God will forgive you and start treating you better." In Genesis chapter 24, verse 1, and I'm going to make a couple references to Genesis chapter 24 this morning. This is a chapter where Abraham sent his servant to find a wife for Isaac. But in the first verse of that chapter, the Bible says, "And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things." Well, look at Abraham's record for a minute. He had to leave home. He had to leave his extended family. He was a vagabond. He was tested by God over and over and over again. He waited 25 years for God to keep a promise
about a child that he would have, and then he was told to take that child a promise and offer him as a sacrifice. And yet, the Bible says, the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Listen to me, we cannot determine God's blessings by records kept on this earth. In fact, in the eternal scheme of things, earthly records are not important. What's important is what Job mentioned there in verse 19 when he says, "My record is on high. My record is in heaven." And Job said, "Go ahead, look at my record. Go ahead, form your opinions of me. What you think I've done, what evil you think I've committed. That's not what I'm worried about. I'm not worried about what the earthly records say about me. What I'm worried about is the record that God keeps on high." Amen. And that ought to be the record that we worry about this morning. 100 years from now, 1,000 years from now, the records that you've compiled on earth of where you were born and where you worked and what jobs you had and who you married and all the sports achievements you've made. 100 years from now, those records will not make any difference. But 100 years from now, 1,000 years from now, 10,000 years from now, your record on high will still matter. It'll still matter. What does your record on high show? Does it show, number one, that you've been saved? Was there ever a time in your life where you admitted to God that you were a sinner? You see, the Bible says we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Was there ever a time in your life that you admitted that you were a sinner? Was there ever a time in your life that you understood that there was a penalty for sin? The Bible says the wages of sin is death, not physical death, although sin sometimes results in physical death, but the wages of sin is spiritual death, being separated from God. You see, hell doesn't start when you leave this earth. If you don't know Jesus this morning, you're living in hell right now. You are separated from God. Has there ever been a point in your life where you saw that Jesus paid the penalty for sin? The Bible says, "But God commendeth or proved his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And as a result of his sacrifice, as a result of his payment, God's able to offer us the gift of salvation. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Eternal life. Look, if death is being separated from God, then life is being together with God. And it's just not life on this earth, but it's life for all eternity. Has there ever been a time in your life where you realized you were a sinner, there was a penalty for that sin, that Jesus paid for it, and that if you ask him, he would save you? Has there ever been a time in your life where you ask him? The book of John says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." The record of this transaction, the Bible tells us, is kept in the Lamb's book of life. Amen. And let me tell you this morning, it's a go, no-go decision. You're either in the book or you're not. It's not that you got started and are somewhere along in the process. It's not a process. It's a decision. It's a decision that you make. Did you receive him or not? Did you trust him or not? Did you accept him or not? To not decide is to reject him. To put off the decision is to reject him. If you're not saved, you're lost. If you're not saved, you're lost. If you're not on your way to heaven, you're on your way to hell. There is no middle ground. The moment, and listen, the moment you enter eternity, there's no turning back. If you leave this earth without knowing Jesus as your Savior, you will go into hell, and you don't get out after 100 years. You don't get out after 1,000 years. There's nobody can pay or pray your way out of hell. Once you enter hell, you are there forever and ever and ever and ever. What's your record on high look like? What's it look like? Are you saved? Is your name in the Lamb's book of life? If it's true, you need to praise God this morning. Amen. Glory to God. My name is in the Lamb's book of life because one day I knelt on my knees and I asked Jesus to be my Savior, to save me from my sin. But if your name is not in the Lamb's book of life, I would not wait another moment. I would bow my head right where I am. I would bow my head right now and I would ask Jesus, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I need you. Save me from the penalty of my sin. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can do that right now. If you've never done it, you need to do it right now. What's your record look like on high? Are you saved? Number two, what's it look like on high when it comes to the Word of God, when it comes to the Bible? This book is God's revelation. This book is God's instruction manual. I'm going to ask you this morning, do you read it? Do you study it? Do you meditate on it? Do you memorize it? Do you hide it in your heart? How many minutes a day do you spend reading this book? How do those minutes compare to the minutes that you spend reading newspaper or magazine? How do the minutes you spend in this book compare to the minutes you spend listening to the radio? How do the minutes you spend in this book compare to the minutes that you spend watching TV? Look, if this is the Word of God, if this is our instruction manual, we need to spend more time in this book than we give to any other pastime in our life. It makes a difference in our life. It's our guide. It keeps us out of sin. It does so many things for us. This Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We need to spend time in the Word of God. If we don't, it'll be just like a person that hasn't eaten. I don't see anybody here in this condition. But I've seen pictures of people that have had to go without food and how their body has withered away. Withered away. How much of our Christian life withers away because we don't spend time eating the bread that God has given us in His Word. What's your record look like on high? Have you been saved? What's your record look like on high? Are you in this book? Number three, what's your record look like on high when it comes to telling people about Jesus? When it comes to witnessing, when it comes to being an ambassador for our Savior, how many people did you witness to this week? How many tracts did you pass out? How many people did you meet and you stopped to think, I wonder if that person knows Jesus? I wonder if that person is saved. How many tears fell from your eyes this week as you thought about lost ones? A parent, a child, a brother, a sister, an aunt, an uncle. As you thought about that loved one, that member of your family that doesn't know Christ. As you prayed for them, how many tears fell from your eyes? The Bible says, he that goeth forth and weepeth. Weepeth. As we think about those in our families that don't know Christ, it ought to break our heart. It ought to make tears flow down our eyes as we think of that one that's a member of our family, that one that we love, that's going to spend eternity apart from God forever in that place called hell. Again, going back to Genesis chapter 24, Abraham was getting old and Isaac was getting old too. He sent his servant, his head servant. He says, I don't want Isaac to marry any of the women where we live now. I want you to go back to our home and I want you to find a wife for my son. The servant took some of the goods of Abraham and he went back to his homeland. He went to a well where the young ladies and the virgins came every day to water the flocks. And here's what he prayed. He said, Lord, I'm here. Send me the wife that you have for my master's son. Send me the wife that you have for Isaac. And the Bible says before he got done praying, Rebekah came.
with her jar to gather water, and she offered him a drink and offered to water his camels. And here's what the servant said later as he was describing for Rebekah's family why he had come and how he had found her. He said, "I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." He said, "I just got in the way, and the Lord did the rest. He led me here." We need to get in the way. We need to be looking for those that God would have us be a witness to. We need to pray, as this servant prayed, "Lord, lead the people to me that need to hear my testimony, that need to hear my witness. Lead those people to me that I can say a word from my Savior, and then the Holy Spirit can bring them to Christ and Jesus can save them." What's your record look like on high? Again, I'll remind you, 100 years from now, 1,000 years from now, 10,000 years from now, the records that we've accumulated on this earth will mean nothing. They'll mean nothing. But the record we've accumulated in heaven, 100 years from now, 1,000 years from now, 10,000 years from now, will still be important for eternity. Is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life this morning? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? You can. You can. You say, "Preacher, I didn't come here to get saved." I don't care why you came. The Holy Spirit knew you were going to be here, and He prepared this message for you. Amen. He prepared this invitation for you. Yeah, you can get up and you can ignore it and you can walk away, but just know that you're spitting in the face of God, because He sent His Son to die for you. And if you're here this morning and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, I beg you, I plead with you this morning, do not leave this place without making peace with God. And you can only do that through the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you tell us about that record on high. And I pray, if there's anybody here in this room, anybody here this morning whose name is not in the Lamb's Book of Life, that you would help them see that they're a sinner. You would help them see that they need a Savior. You would help them come to Jesus this morning. Father, I pray, and Holy Spirit, I pray, please convict them this morning. Please work in their heart. Please work in their mind. Help them to see there isn't any other way. You can't be good enough. You can't join a church. You can't get baptized. None of that, it's good to do, but none of that makes any difference about whether you go to heaven or not. What makes the difference? Have you trusted Christ? Have you put your faith in Him and ask Him to forgive you and to cleanse you from all your sins and to make you right with God? And so I pray for those that are here this morning that don't know Jesus, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just work in their life and you would bring them to Christ. And then I pray for the many Christians that are here. Father, as we're so grateful and we praise you that our name's in the Lamb's Book of Life, but I pray you'd help us consider. We have a record when it comes to how much time we're spending in your word. We have a record of how much time and how much effort we're giving to the reason that you left us here, to tell people about Jesus. And I pray we'd spend less time and worry about the records on this earth and more time and concern about our record in heaven. So speak to our heart, Holy Spirit. Convict us where we need to be convicted. Help us to do what we need to do this morning. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.